May 11th, 2018, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show, Friday. Pedro, my brother Matt's still on the mend from the sickness after his big journey. So I ain't totally man alone, though, because through the magic of those Estonian engineers with their Skype invention, I got Reg Bloor with me. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
We started
hello,
the music
Pedro
off.
Land.
What's that?
I said, hello, Pedro Land.
Yeah, it's Watt and Pedro Land. And you're in Manhattan?
Yes.
Okay. Hello there in Manhattan Land. You know, we got a Manhattan. In fact, the Mr. Man guitar player, Tom Watson, lives in Manhattan Beach. And they call it this because, it was funny, he was born in Manhattan, moved when he was like four. But anyway, it's only part of the South Bay here, SoCal, that has actually rock. When the earthquake comes to bring everything down, it's all landfill and stuff, except Manhattan Beach. And they will survive, yeah. Because you guys, Manhattan's a big rock.
Yeah,
okay.
Dead rock.
We played Attainment from John Coltrane to start show off from Sonship. And then from your new album, The Wrath of That. Okay. Now, let's go before the album. Let's go all the way back. In fact, Reg, can you tell me your earliest music recollection?
My earliest music recollection is taking piano lessons when I was about 5 years old.
Okay. And was it in the pad?
Was it what?
In the pad, or did you go to the piano player? I mean, was there piano in your where you grew up?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it positive? Some people I know that had that experience almost made them hate music because the teachers were not happening.
No, it didn't really have an effect one way or the other.
Okay.
But it did create a foundation to reading music, which later came in very handy.
Even at five, you were reading? That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, they start us off with reading.
Okay. That's probably before you could read the English language.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, what a trip. So what kind of classical stuff they had you play?
Yeah, beginner, little kid stuff.
Okay. Now, there's piano in the pad. Did people in your family, were they listeners or players or both?
They wanted to be players, but they weren't. But they were listeners.
So learning piano really wasn't your idea?
Not really, no.
Not when you're five. Anyway, do you remember buying your own record? What was the first record you bought for yourself?
My first, that wasn't like Chipmunk Rock or something. I think it was Twisted Sister, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. What was his name?
D. Snyder.
D. Snyder, that's it. And I hope he's well. I mean, it's a, yeah, kind of a rebellious thing, right?
Yeah.
In a sense, kind of. Do you remember the first gig you went to?
My mom would take me to country concerts when I was a little kid, so I don't remember what all she dragged me to.
Okay.
The first one I went to voluntarily, I think, was David Lee Roth.
Yeah. After Van Halen.
Yeah.
Or in between, yeah, stints with Van. I'm wondering, at school, did you have music there?
I had some, yeah. They
like
had
harmony or choir or a school band, marching band.
I was in the chorus in high school, and they had an electronic music class and a music theory class.
Wow!
And I took those.
In high
but
school?
I wasn't in the band.
Okay, but that's pretty good school.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. I've never heard of a high school that had electronic music. That's great. That's beautiful. In fact, a lot of schools, they cut their music programs out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. So, and then how did the piano thing, because you end up on guitar, so how did that work out?
Well, I took piano lessons for about 4 years. And when I was from until I was nine, and then my dad made me quit And then
there was
a lot of transitions in my family, moving, splitting up things.
Okay.
And then I tried a few other instruments in between. I tried the cornet, couldn't get the hang of it. I sang in the choir, wasn't really very good at that. Tried drums a little bit, and that was way too loud for my parents. So when I was 12, I settled on the guitar. In fact, my brother had taken a couple guitar lessons, so there was guitars laying around, and he never played it, but I would, like, sneak in his room and play it.
Okay.
So I ended up playing guitar when I was 12.
Lessons?
Yes. Yeah, I had lessons off and on.
Now, what kind of stuff was that? Was that classical or folk?
Well, they start you off with folk, you know,
yeah.
And then I got
you started with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah. I had that for about 2 years before I got my Les Paul when I was 14. That's the same one I've been playing ever since.
Wow.
That's
great.
You
must have got an amp too, right?
Yeah.
And wasn't it a big difference to play electric guitar versus an acoustic guitar?
Yeah, definitely. the music I listened to was electric guitar music. I was not listening to folk music. I was listening to, at 12, I was listening pretty seriously heavy metal. Yeah, it was the 80s. And
Dee Snider.
Yeah.
I guess he was a singer, though. I can't remember the guys in the band, but.
Yeah,
they're pretty good. They know how to play. did you make a band? Well, now that you're on guitar, did you make, you know, the after school band in the garage kind of thing?
I tried to. I did manage to get people together enough to play like talent show and school dances and stuff. But getting people together when there wasn't an actual gig was difficult. I went to a pretty straight school.
And nobody just didn't want to do music for the love of it, huh?
Yeah.
It had to be focused on an event.
Yeah, it had to be like for your college application or something.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Connecticut, you know.
Okay. Connecticut. You know, I never heard Connecticut jokes till I started playing for Jay Maskus in West Mass there. They have all kinds of Connecticut jokes. I guess it's always the cat next door.
Yeah.
Like I never heard Belgian jokes till I went to Holland.
Yeah.
Funny about that.
Belgian jokes.
Here, I want to play this Heads on Pikes.
Okay.
Such an endearing title, you
Rolling. die.
Thank you.
וביום ההוא פתחתי מלפפון במטבח של בית קפה קטן שניסה בכל מאודו להשקיף לים, אך דיונות החול הסתירו לו את קו החוף. בכל זאת הוא היה שם, אפילו כאפשרות. המלפפון היה גדול ועסיסי, אבל הסכין לא הייתה חדה מספיק והחליקה על הקליפה הלכה. נאלצתי לעבוד באיטיות. חציתי אותו לשניים ואחר כך לארבע, סובבתי ב-90 מעלות וחתכתי לקוביות קטנות מושלמות. הטלפון צלצל. זה לא היה ניר.
Eat it. Just feel the ceiling peel. Oh, everyone is on the wrong side of sketchy. That's the deal. Being vaguely aware of variance unleashes a totality crux. Then, simultaneously unstrung, are myriad tentacles, tongues, and tautologies, with nary a fresh-hatched idea, yet the next Pandoran compartment is sprung. Stilled are lolling lobes, grown flabby, exercising sorely evolved thumbs. That masturbate thickened data stew among interweb denizen devourers, pouring inconceivable gibberish down wiry sluice maws hungered by dumb wanters without willpower, knower bones or futurist thunder. Like gaggling former egg creatures, their quivering connections and ports revolt and distort their data input decryptors, opening wounds unknown. Their fisting erupts, as breaches teach suspicion to assume a new name, to hone its shame into manageable time frames eaten outside the home. Tiny mandibles gape in disbelief, and Google for possible escape plans. Ridiculously dribbly sweat beads like amoebic descent on quivering brows. Dizzy from the neck-breathing info encroachment from which their napes crawl. But instead, techno trinkets dazzle all the cows with masked peeper know-how. But then, aren't masochists just sheep in weak-willed clothing? Wondering where to stow brutish expressions when the wind castigates so. Or the laughing diminishes from news cycles colored by waxy marm crayons. Switches brand knuckles unnerved, jangled into compliant consumer jelly. Good little channel changers. Hold that treat on your nose until we say. You wish you could learn mumbledy peg, reap the family bounty or to pray. Instead, being sucked down the chute lays out most of the attempters. If only was the whisper of trees listened to, or warm memory recalled from tomorrow. The windows, thus shrunken, creaking jams rattle behind slavering couch potatoes, mashing pursuits into bite-sized suppositories while gloating over likes and snaps. Dosed beyond limits of realizing any given moment, it's real gone forever, man. There it goes, where some may suppose only for profit or as long as it's still free to give a crap. So, swimming through forest wrought from sandstorm ooze, divinely lightning struck, as beats forgotten, pulse of luck, wriggling in the muck, striving to come unstuck, until new limbs and awareness pull the twitch forward with wonder, desire, and such. Moist blips of light cherish their instant gift of choice and evolve like the wind, revolving their kin into myriad futures past. Such a joyous enterprise will splash from enlightened motes who care about kind whereabouts, yet permit punks, cads, and dudes to share with all the wherewithal, one from endeavor unimpeded, ideation succeeding by breeding, Comfort, caring, and less stress is the tomorrow. Hard work for, but duly won, friend. By gratitude.
For Pedro Show, yeah, Heads on Pikes, Edge Blur from a new album, and Girls with Guns, a rough mix of Cocks Not Kisses, Robert Pollard with Killed a Man Who Looks Like You, Verms do Limbo, Vermes do Limbo, it's Portuguese, sorry, slaughtering the language, O Sol Mais Escuro, Lucy Leave with Barrier Reef, Howie Reeve with Scrabbling, $75 bill, Cummins Falls, Farther South, and That Day, Chris Scroger, Anodyne, Anacoditz, and No Dolt Times, Chris Scroger, yeah, incredible poet. And then finally, Reg Blur with Hilarity Ensues. Okay, so you can rally the music-minded classmates of yours if you had something in mind. But obviously life changes for you after school, music-wise, right?
Yeah.
And maybe people are like more into like making music with you?
Well, I moved to Boston to go to Berklee. And that changed.
Berklee School of Music.
Yeah. So everybody there's a musician, so.
Yeah, right.
And then they started playing in bands in Boston. I didn't have any money when I showed up at Berklee. So I managed to stay 2 years. And then I dropped out and stayed in Boston playing in bands for another 6 years.
What do you think about Berklee? Is it about learning the stuff, or is it... Because I hear it's also about the connects.
It is a lot about the connections.
Yeah.
And it's also more of a, I don't want to say a trade school, but you don't just major in music. You major in a particular thing. You major in, like, film scoring or commercial arranging or something like that. So you get, it's a more practical thing, I think, than a general music school.
Vocational.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the first time I heard about Berklee School of Music is Voidoid, Richard Helm Voidoid album. And you took out the sleeve, and there was Bob Quine's, like, ID card. I guess he went there for a little bit. So that's what I first heard about. Then now, Boston, they go way back with a very deep scene, very early.
Yeah.
So yeah. A lot of places to play.
It just sort of waxed and waned. You know, we'd go back and forth between lots and lots of rock clubs, and then they would switch over to electronic music or dance music or something. It was sort of, the pendulum sort of swung on that.
It would dry up and then get fertile.
Yeah.
But they do go back. The whole thing about New England, look how short the drives are.
Yeah.
You know, but then, yeah, look at the weather.
Yeah.
Or feel the weather.
The distance is shorter, but there's more traffic, so it still takes us.
Yeah. Well, you know, living out west here, man, I mean, you know, the next town is 400 miles, you know, kind of thing. And so it was just us as young people not being used to touring yet and knowing about there's trade-offs, yeah. Well, the distance ain't just physical. So you start playing in bands. Do you remember your first gig? Besides the talent show, after that, when you...
I don't. I remember my first gig with Twitcher, which was the first really serious band I had in Boston.
It's a serious name.
We played at the Rat, which was pretty legendary place in Boston.
Yeah,
that was our first
gig.
We
got to do that too, and interesting doorman with interesting voice. Interesting hair. And also, I remember the lights for on Georgie, on the drummer. They had, like, gigantic stage lights that were, like, 1 foot off you. So it's like, remember them Susie Homemaker, these ovens that were made out of light bulb?
Oh, yeah. Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah, Easy Bake Oven.
The name Rat was no joke. I mean, as soon as the music went off, the rats came out. You had to lift up your gear so you didn't end up taking a few of them.
Oh, yeah. Big ones.
Yeah.
And, okay, Twitcher. So, did Twitcher record?
Yeah, we did one record called Leg of Lamb of God.
Yeah, of course.
And the singer for that band is now the bass player for World Inferno Friendship Society, Sandra Malek.
Wow. Okay. Uh-huh. But it was a good experience.
Yeah.
Did you guys tour?
We played around New England and a little bit in New York.
And you said you made an album. Was that your first recording?
Yeah.
And what was that like? Was it a studio in Boston area?
Yeah, it was a studio, I think it was New Alliance Studio.
Wow. He and D-Boon had a label called New Alliance. We copied SST, you know.
Right.
Let's put out the records, nobody else will.
Right.
Yeah, it was called New Alliance Records. And ended up putting out the first Husker Du and Descendants albums. So, what was it like?
It wasn't scary. We had been playing the material for a long time, so we were very well rehearsed. So it wasn't too scary. But I do remember, like, the engineer noticing every little thing, every little resonance, every little sound that, you know, interfered. And I had never, things you don't notice, you know, when you're just listening to records. And now I notice all that stuff, like every little. There's a fan in the background when you record it, or there's some resonance in the room you can't get rid of or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, like, maybe it gets in the way a little bit. No, I was talking more about this thing they call red light fever. Like, you know it's going to be permanent or something, and so you get scared when the recording light, that kind of thing.
No, I didn't experience that.
I still get it. Like while you're playing and practicing with the guys, and then all of a sudden the red light goes on, psh, clams. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So you're beyond that as well. So that's why I'm still in training wheel mode. So what happened, ended up with Twitcher?
The two members of the band, Sandra and Ryan Walsh, who played in NAGPFA, who passed away a few years ago, both graduated at the same time and were leaving town.
Okay.
And I had been making trips to New York to see shows at, like, the old Knitting Factory and Tonic and stuff.
What on
pretty amazing at that time. Yeah.
I saw William Parker do Testament there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty, Thirst took me and was incredible. It was very sweaty, too.
So we decided to move to New York because Sandra was from New Jersey and Ryan was commuting from Connecticut. But then we sort of broke up in the process of moving. And then I met Glenn.
And then, obviously that was a whole body of work.
Yeah.
Did you know his work before that?
Yeah.
Okay. And because you think it had an influence on your guitar?
It definitely had an influence on my ear.
I don't
go like swiping techniques from him. You know, in fact, it was sort of the point of doing my own music at the same time as to do something that I'm not doing with him. But it's definitely increased my ear for density, which may or may not be a good thing, but. It definitely makes me want to hear more dense, more thick chords, more dissonance. And
did you play in one of his bands?
I've been playing in...
When I got to play with you, you were like leading the band. But I'm talking about in the beginning.
In the beginning, we were going to do a duo. And we did a few gigs that way, like sort of semi-improv. And we did some trio and quartet gigs. But then when he started getting gigs for the 100 guitar piece, that became our job.
that was quite a... I loved it. That experience for me was incredible. Listeners,
it's pretty intense.
Yeah, the people listening don't know what I'm talking about, but it was Symphony Number 13, Hallucination City, and maybe 13 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
2005, 6, something like that.
I think it was the beginning of 2006 when we did it in L.A.
Okay. And I remember the practice, and we did two big days of practices, and then a sickness hits me. And I said, fuck that, and I played with a fever. My ma came... My sister brought her. It was the Disney, whatever it is, downtown here in, with the exploding French fry organ. And, man, it was, I remember sitting right next to Virgil. There's one drummer, 20 basses, 64 guitars. And John Meyer was the conductor, man. And just him counting out every fucking bar, you know. Oh, man. I made it. I did it. And I was so very grateful to be part of that kind of thing. It was massive. It was incredible. We're at the end of the first hour, May 11, 2018, Dish of Watt Peter Show. Special guest, Reg Blur. Hold tight for hour two. May 11, 2018 is the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
today.
Sit by the phone, bringing back memories of warmer times. When it finally rings, sometimes old friends are just too busy, drifting out and far away. Maybe there is no time. People do change as well, so go on with your life. Always hold them dear. Memories are worth saving. Friends are worth it. At least don't forget them. Pass into the afterlife with them at your side. It is the final payoff for a long and loyal friendship.
Wow.
Ranoranoranila, Only if I hear, but nobody's home.
There's only one I can hear.
Halloween.
I can hear.
Halloween.
I love the song. Go track.
Halloween.
I love the song. Go track.
What goes through my wires,
but I know how much I hear.
But it's not don't.
Halloween.
Watt for Pedro Show. We started the second hour off with Raison Death. Death. Reason to die, I guess. Reg Blore from the new album. We should educate the people, myself included. This is a Reg Blore album. And the last thing, I played your last release, and it was called The Paranoid Critical Revolution.
Oh, well, my last one was also Reg Blore, but the three before that were the Paranoid Critical Revolution. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Was that, there was one in between, huh? A Reg Blore.
Yeah.
One. Okay.
I think you played that.
Did I play that also?
Yeah.
I've tried to play everything you fucking. I've tried to play everything you fucking sent me, you know, but I lose track. You know, I've me and Brother Matt now have done the show 17 years.
Wow.
And they're all archived. And, yeah. Pretty intense. In fact, I think this is the anniversary today, maybe.
Wow.
17 years. Yeah, what a coincidence. Anyway, thank you so much, Brother Man. Okay. So, what was that the revolutionary critical, paranoid critical revolution?
The title came from a collection of writings by Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
But the
musical unit.
It's the first two records were me and Libby Fab on drums.
Okay.
And then the third record was me and Roger Oldtown on vocals and the drum machine.
And this band is totally from your New York experience.
Yes.
Yeah. And like you were saying, there's Glenn's work, the big work, but you wanted to make sure you had your Reg Bloor identity.
Yeah, I had other ideas I wanted to express.
Yeah. Now, the big difference, what's her name, Libby?
Libby, yeah.
Yeah, without Libby, there's no drum, right? big difference.
Yeah.
So it's kind of woman alone.
Yeah.
And overdub?
I doubled everything.
Okay, because you like this dense idea, right?
Right.
Right.
But
right.
It's one guitar part. And the chords I'm playing are pretty dense, but it's not overdubbed to add more notes. It's just overdubbed to add thickness.
Right. Instead of using a delay, I think it's always better to double because it's a little bit off where delay is too much exactly the same.
Right.
So it's kind of a shadow. Yeah, it's not some kind of counterpoint or harmony. It's just kind of a thickener. Yeah.
Right.
I kind of use that technique with the vocal and also with the guitar.
And I also use two different amps when I double it, so they sound a little different. So you get a fuller range. One that's a little more bassy, one that's a little more trebly.
Okay. And then another round, so you end up actually with four?
Yeah.
What was the process? First off, what studio was it done in?
I did it at home on my computer.
That's the great thing. See, it's not all terrible new days. Because remember in the old days, man, you couldn't do that. We can do that now. Okay, so you did it all in your pad. And were the amps up loud?
Not very loud, no.
So were they small amps?
One of them small, the other one's a little bigger.
People don't realize that actually small amps record better.
Yeah, they do, because you get the full sound of it.
Yeah, because the big ones, you turn it up that loud, things get all compressed, they end up sounding kind of tiny.
Yeah.
The producer, right? So a self-producer, you weren't really bouncing ideas. You were fully in control.
Yeah, it was just me.
And before you started on the proj, did you, compose all the pieces? Or were some improvised?
I composed all the pieces, yeah. They were all ready, and I recorded them all at the same time.
Oh, so it was like one big session. Interesting.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Interesting, because, when you got that luxury of doing it at home, you think you would do little bits, pieces. But you went and did, like what you had to do in the old days, you had to make one, didn't have a lot of money, so you do the one jam session. I want to play, We didn't talk about the other songs. There was also Dual Decibel System and Banana, Joe Brewer with Old Friends, What Is Going to Happen from 1518, The Mystery of Bulgarian Voices from with Rano Ranilla, Ty and Elisa with Halloween Trap, and finally, Discated Survivor?
Desiccated Survivor. Yeah. Another pun.
Yeah. Well, I'm too stupid to laugh. Yeah, of course. It's very punny. What about the titles? Do they come last or first?
All the way through.
Okay. Let's play Projectile Bleed.
Thank you. You did all that you could, but now there's no more that you can. And I'm sorry to write that I have met a new man. Dear Johnny, dear Johnny, I'll always tell the kids the good things about their father, but the bills are stacking higher and the times are getting harder. Dear Johnny, dear Johnny, we have already done four, now there's seven more to go. And I tried to hold you down, baby, heaven only knows. Dear Johnny, dear Johnny, my dearest Johnny.
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO.
We went from good to better, then better to worse forever. Baby, I understand it's so much for one letter. Dear Johnny, dear Johnny, so I leave you with this, a couple flicks sealed with a kiss. I love you so much, you'll forever be missed. Dear Johnny, dear Johnny, my dearest Johnny.
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
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 letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO,
LFO, letters from outside.
LFO.
Thank you.
one-way basis. Could be you, could be her. It could be both in different moments. Any bond grows stronger, separated by impediments. If it doesn't work out, had a taste of being that brave and try it again. Never there for anyone to claim.
Watt from Pedro Show. You just heard Deep in Your Eyes. Yeah, Vicious Circle. That's Brother Jack way back before TSOL. And then Ghost Car, Nurse of the Swollen Unicorn, Part 1. Maybe you don't want to hear Part 2. Before that, The Details out of Romania. God, a Romanian band, and you call yourself The Details in English. Trippy. For anyone to claim, Crash Landing ahead of that, Tropic Topic. NATO Face with LFO, a little anagram rock there. This Click, Maka Kirke, I think that's Croatian, huh? And then Reg Blur with Projectile Bleed to start it all off. There's just something about saying projectile bleed. That's So, you got this baby in one session.
Well, I did. I actually took two sessions right close to each other because I did one. My apartment's kind of small, so I had to set up one amp with all the mics. And then I did all the takes with that amp. And then I set up the other one and did the takes of that one. So it was two different sessions.
Okay. And what about the mixing?
The mixing took me a little while.
Yeah, yeah. So in the way you recorded it, what, you ended up with four tracks? Or did you use a bunch of microphones ambient?
I used a bunch of microphones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you had a bunch of tracks to work with.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, you know, about that kind of thing. It made me think of, like, those first albums by Throbbing Gristle, you know. Like, how did they compose this stuff, and then how they mix this stuff, you know. It's, you know, and I don't want to give away any trade secrets, you know.
Hold on.
Can
you turn that down? Glenn, please. Glenn, turn that down.
For you, and the biggest thing is forgiveness, right? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got another level of world coming through. Coming through the... So that's why... I mean, obviously, you got a thing in your mind. A vision for your sound, and and you know, me being a bass, I'm always like, I got to aid and abet the tune. But like situation like yours, it's like you're the sculpture. You got the clay. Your hands are in the clay.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about aiding and abetting because you're going to realize. And so, yeah, I'm a little jealous. You know, I feel like glue, right? If I got nothing to stick to, I'm just a puddle. You know, so I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm very grateful for, especially the politics. You know, I look good making them look good. So
yeah,
there's a kind of a little heavy lifting.
I'm sorry, Glenn hit the wrong button on there.
Okay, I hit the wrong buttons all the time. Look, we're at the end of the second hour of the May 11, 2018 Dishwap Pedro Show special guest, Reg Blur. Hold tight for hour three. May 11, 2018, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
some would tell you life would be wonderful. You could know what it means to live your childhood dreams that you foresee, bright, rich, and colorful. The bloodsuckers preying on the gullible. It's a victim's crime. Happens all the time. My product of
victimless crime. Directly to the area of the point or someone.
Watt from Pedro Show started the third hour off with Reg Bloor, new album, and Sensory Irritation Chamber is the tune. Then we had Chameleon Sustain from Bo Peep, SS Space Systems with Oil Pipes and Trash Cans, Bernays Propaganda, the Bastion mix of Lazimi, which I think means lie to me. Here Lies Man with I Stand Alone, Roosterhead, Victimless Crime, the Vandal Poets with Weird Things Happen Part 3, and that's a demo, of course, and Mold Omen, Yellow Beard, I think they're Baltimore, and then finally Reg Bloor with Reset Dystopia.
Present Dystopia.
Oh, yeah. Resent. Resent?
Present.
Oh, the P got cut off. Oh. Yeah, thanks for catching that. I got to fix the fucking playlist. Yeah, you can't pronounce it right if you don't fucking write it right in the first place. Okay. You know, when you were composing for this record, when did you know you had enough?
Usually when I have 10 or 11, I think that's enough.
So it goes by the event more than time.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean,
my pieces tend to be short, but there's a lot of music in those short pieces, so.
That's okay. I come from a short kind of tradition, too. You have to be a little more creative because they don't play out as long, but. There's not as much filler, huh?
Yeah.
It's like you distill. Does any stuff end up on the floor? Scissor?
Yeah. The stuff that doesn't come out is clear, you know.
So once you execute it, you know, and once you perform it and record it, yeah, okay. The best laid plans. I want to play Molotov Cocktail here.
Okay.
Do you like to talk about your, you know, I haven't asked you to explain any of these songs. Because some people say, hey, the music speaks for themselves, and I don't want to explain.
I can explain it, but if you want me to.
Okay, Molotov Cocktail. You're a bomb.
Well, that one starts, well, not starts off, but it's got a very low-endy part in there, and most of what I do is very high-endy, so I wanted to do one little part that had some low-end. It's more of a straight-out ass-kicker, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
Live from Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Molotov Cocktail. And you heard it from the composer herself. She's trying to get a little low endy in there. Working the low endy. Then we heard Zero Debt live from WFMU. I heard Brian Turner's quitting there. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what a great cat that guy is, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think he's going on to do other stuff, but quite a pillar for that pad.
Yeah.
You've probably done stuff there, right? And every DJ has their own show. What's that called? Jersey City, right? Yeah, Jersey City.
Yeah, I think it's in Jersey City.
Okay.
I haven't been over there.
Oh, you never have? It's like a house kind of thing.
Yeah.
And very interesting. It's what radio should be, in my opinion. Four-Dimensional Nightmare after that with Fifth Genesis, Evil Hearted You, West Los, Corey Brandon, I Only Know, and finally, 122 zeros, and then a one from Reg Bloor. Any plans of tour?
I don't have anything scheduled now, but I'm looking maybe in the fall to do some touring.
What about right in where you live there?
I'm playing next week on the 18th, the day it's released, with God Is My Co-Pilot at Muchmore's in Brooklyn. And
what's the name of the band?
Muchmore's.
Muchmore's. Oh, Muchmore's. I don't know, you know. God, in the old days, I played a place called the Brooklyn Zoo, and I never played there again until the early 2000s, and now it's everything.
Yeah.
But things come and go so quick, I don't know, you know. So people, head on over there. And people can find you on the internet, too, regbloor.com, right?
REGBLOOR.com. Yep.
Now, would touring be easy for you? What, you bring two amps and a guitar? That same guitar, right?
Yeah, I just bring one, actually.
Okay, so you do gigs with one amp.
Yeah.
So most people,
because I don't play with a drummer, I can bring a small one, you know.
Yeah, right. An easy setup, easy tear down.
Yeah.
Well, I know this record's coming out in a week, so it's not even out, so it's not even old news. But are you thinking ahead?
I'm always writing material. I kind of can't help it. I sit down with a guitar and I start coming up with stuff.
How do you do you memorize them in your head, or do you make recordings?
Make recordings and then I write down like the fingerings.
Okay.
They're not standard chords, so I have to remember.
No, I was going to ask you about that because I know some cats. Actually, it was a dude in Tokyo. He films himself playing the thing, so you can see where his fingers are. On the fretboard. You know what I mean? So you can actually see his fingers, you know, so he can remember where he put them.
Yeah. I actually draw a little chart with the fingerings in it.
Wow. You would rather do it with your fingers than with tuning.
Yeah.
So your guitars, but they still aren't standard tuning, right?
It's standard tuning, yeah.
Oh, it is. So you're doing that all with your... You're like a Nels Klein. No, I say this because some guys that worked with Glenn, Lee and Thirst, they do it with the tuning. They don't want to get their fingers all twisted up. You know, you go over... That's the thing about when I was younger, you know, go first pad, you pick up the guitar. I mean, the strings are too skinny anyway, but, you know, I'm trying to do a Creedence song, and you can't play it. It's like, bong, ding. So, but you actually do it with your fingers. Okay.
Yeah,
that's... Well, can I ask you this? You could say forget it, but would somebody getting started on guitar, would you have advice, any kind of advice to give them?
Just play what you want to play. You know, don't, I mean, I would advise somebody to try it a little bit before you go to a teacher. I think you get more out of it if you come in with questions than if you just come in and learn a bunch of stuff that you don't know what to do with it yet.
Yeah. And beyond guitar, music, racket, period, any kind of advice?
This might come off. I've been figuring out how to word this because I don't want to come off as being like resentful or saying anything bad about the people who benefit. But I think that, not to get too political, but if your reputation or your money or your family's reputation or money don't predate the 21st century, get a gig playing with somebody who's dust. Because the system right now is not accepting new people or giving out new money.
Yeah.
That may change, you know. I wouldn't take much to change it, but at the moment...
No, I think that's good advice, Reg. I think that's real good advice.
If you're coming out of nowhere with nothing, you got to hook up with somebody who's got something because they're not going to let you in by yourself.
Yeah, that's kind of bleak, but accurate. I want to thank you so
much. Nothing against the people who, you know, got in. They worked for it, but other people worked for it too and didn't get in, that's all I'm saying.
It's been a big honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
It's been an honor to be on the show.
Truly.
Thank you.
And keep on keeping on. You know, if you want to take this on the road, you come out west, please tell me I want to go to the gig.
I'd love to come out west. I will definitely tell you.
Okay. People, okay. It's been May 11, 2018 edition Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Reg Bloor. Keep your powder dry.